All right. Podcast. This is episode number 39. This is pre-Super Bowl week. All right. Super Bowl week's next week. Super Bowl shenanigans coming right down the pipe. We're going to have a banger next week. We're going to go live Friday night. I know we got the Rum Boys coming on, and we're going to be bringing on some other guests. We're going to try to have a big old party, and I'll keep you all posted. But I am your host of this thing. My name is John Sheps. You can find me on Twitter at Coach Sheps. My co-hosts are Justin at JustinFF_. He's not with me today. My dude Nate at Nate_Dirt19 on Twitter. And the show is at Toilets2Titles on Twitter. So check all that out. Give us all follows and keep track of us this offseason because we're going to be busy. We're going to be putting a lot of stuff out there. How you can listen to the show, all right? If you're not listening these ways, because you're listening some way, this is how you listen to us. We're on Apple Podcasts. Again, if you follow us, we can share that link, and it'll also be in the show notes. Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, and our YouTube channel. Those are all ways you could check us out. And also, you know, we have a Facebook page. I have a Sports Cards Facebook page. When a Family Breaks, it's called. You can find us on there and all those links. Now, however you're listening to us, it would be greatly appreciated. You could hit the like button. So if you're watching us on YouTube, if you can hit the like button for the episode, if you can drop a comment, if you could subscribe. And if you do subscribe, I suggest you hit the little bell so you're alerted when you go live. If you want to, you know, when we go live, if you want to hop in, check out the episode and comment, because we're going to be interacting with the listeners and the viewers as we go. Now, if you can listen on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate a review. That really helps us out. It helps the algorithm, helps put us up closer to the top when you search, or when people search fantasy football podcast. I do want to let you know, I mentioned that page, When a Family Breaks. It's on Facebook. I'm going to share the link to that. You can hit me up on Twitter if you want that link. Sports Cards Talk, sports memorabilia, buy, sell, trade, whatever. We do Razzes. Right now we're doing an NFL draft mega Razz. Razzes, you pay like $5 a spot. There's 12 spots. You can buy as many as you want, and then it gets randomized, and the winner gets the item, right? So right now I'm doing a mega Razz for the NFL draft. I got a Rondale Moore signed mini helmet, Micah Parsons. I got a Trevor Lawrence picture, Justin Fields mini helmet, and a Kyle Pitts picture. The Kyle Pitts picture is actually right here. This thing's pretty sweet. There's his autograph, the Beckett COA. So if you're a Pitts fan, come get some. Again, I'll share that link. It's $10 a spot. There are 18 spots and 12 left. So the winner gets to choose one of those five items, and then I'll remove that, set it back up, drop the amount of members who could join the next time. So the next time it'll be like $10, 16 spots instead of the 18, and the next person will get to win and so on. It's all those items are gone. All right, enough with my discussion here about our stuff that's going on. Today we have a great guest. We're going to have some great discussion, and let me bring him in right now. It is Mike at Daddy's Home FF, co-host of the Fantasy Intervention Podcast. Let me add him to the stream. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
What's up, John? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. I got my coffee in me, and I'm zipping around. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, man, that's dope. Yeah, and I'm stoked to be here. Like I said, hit it a little hard last night like we talked about, but happy to be here this morning. Been up since 4, so let's get this party started, right?
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. All right, great. So, again, your co-host of the Fantasy Intervention, it's at Join Our Circle. Tell us a little bit about your show. Tell our listeners a little bit about your show.
Oh, man. Yeah. So it's been wild over there. So realistically, when you look at Fantasy Intervention, it started with Chase Vernon, and my dude was literally grinding. I think he was doing like 15 shows a week. And I had sent out a tweet, and I was like, yo, I want to go live just to the world, like just shouting at the void. I probably had, you know, 300 people following me, but yeah. Lucky one of them was Chase. And he hit me up and he goes, hey, if you can write a show sheet, let's do it. I'm like, all right, I have no idea what a show sheet is. So I start asking people, you know, what's a show sheet? And I had written one for that night, Wednesday night, and we went live. It was supposed to be a one-time thing. Like just me and him kind of, you know, knew each other, but not well, went live and people just stayed. Had a pretty good audience, and me and him had a lot of fun. So he's like, hey, you want to try it next week? and it became a thing. So we probably did 6 weeks of those. And then all of a sudden, probably like 6 or 7 weeks in, you know, we were getting some cool guests and everything. People just started hopping in. There was a Dynasty Happy Hour that the gang over there started breaking up. They, you know, the website had gone away, and Chase was like, hey, I'm going to do a website. And all of a sudden people start coming over. I mean, you're talking Fantasy Chef, Crease over there. You're talking Corey, C-Dot came over, Juan Carlos Pena, Dave Kluge, and then Steffi Smalls joins. And all of a sudden, like, things started rolling, right? And now, I mean, we are 40 strong. I mean, you're talking Linda is over there, Bob Gilchrist, Brad Bolt, Troy
King. She's a great member of the fantasy community for sure.
Oh, she's absolutely the best. I mean, Jordan Reigns is doing IDP for us now. Air DJ is doing these videos, man, that they're amazing. They're called Taste Testers. And he's doing this thing where he's basically making drinks and the ingredients are players and telling you why you should love or hate them. It is wild.
That's cool. That's very clever.
So dope, man. And then we got Steven Johnson coming over doing our graphics with Bob now. Evan, Dr. Dynasty's over there.
Which Bob are you speaking of?
Bob Gilchrist.
I can't speak about it, actually, so I'm not even type of thing going on with the league. Me and Bob are in that I might get kicked out if I discuss it. So it's on the rack.
Lips are sealed, my man. Lips are sealed. But yeah, we have Jacob Sanderson joined. I mean, we have this group like Sandals Little Helper, Jordan B, Zach Black, FF Trade Guy, FFIMBQ, and of course, my co-host Cooter Doodle, who I absolutely love. The Pulvets, Aaron Yackel's there, CJ Krause, John Swanson does all our music. Like, literally, I could go on for days.
I feel like the way I'm envisioning it is, you ever seen the movie Warriors?
Yep.
It's like the dude who started it is like the dude at the top. Can you dig it? And there's just all of a sudden there's just a massive posse of people that have amassed. Man, that's excellent.
It's insane. Like it literally went.
I can't even keep track of all the names you just listed, man. Like I'd like to say I was able to digest all of that, but like there was a lot. There's a lot of people there, man.
Oh, I don't even get them all. I mean, you're talking Jeff Bell's over there. Sal Lito joined us. I mean, yeah. DFS with Dan. We have literally like people that are experts in everything.
Oh, yeah.
And Jordan, who's in the chat, Jordan Reigns was our latest entry. And, oh, he's the best. And to get the best IDP guy when we didn't have IDP.
Right.
Is amazing, right? So this group, it just came together like a freaking Voltron. Like I've never seen it. I'm just sitting there watching it happen. And trust me, like it is, I'm learning so much because I'm legitimately the dumbest person in the room with this group, which is great because that's what I want. Like I'm learning from them, you know? No, it's true. They are grinders. They're just smart dudes. It's absolutely amazing.
Man. So that is incredible. And it all started because you just said, I want to go live.
Yeah. So it actually, it was just a tweet. Like I was cutting my grass. And I'm like, hey, anybody want to do a live stream like it? And I literally didn't expect to even get an answer. And I think that's kind of, you know, we'll get into the, you know, great, what we're grateful for. I got lucky. And I don't want anyone to ever think.
You got blessed.
Like, I got blessed. Exactly. That's how it played out. It wasn't like I was doing anything better than anybody else. Or some idiot on my lawnmower being like, yo, let's talk football. And just kind of, it just went from there, which is, you know, it's dope to think about it. It's pretty wild. But yeah, I've just been, you know, sitting back enjoying the ride, you know.
Well, we're going to get into, you know, the gratitude list. I wanted to start with this. I want to start, like, particularly I'm bringing you on. And I do know, like, your energy is positive. And I believe you put positive out, you get positive returns. You know what I mean? And at first, you know, I've been in the community, you know, for I want to say like 6 years or so. And I've had a few different podcasts. I've had podcasts bigger than this one. And, you know, I'm growing this thing. It was more of like a grassroots thing. Like I used to be a member of Dynasty Football Factory. I started their first podcast. It was the Dynasty Warzone, you know, started with a Twitter handle, 0 followers, built it up grinding, like 2,000 followers and, you know, got the show up. And it was helpful being a part of a big site because everybody shared it. You know what I mean? And everybody shared my stuff and it helped us grow. you know? And, but then I was like, you know, I kind of want to do something that, that I started, you know what I mean? Kind of similar to what you did. And, you know, I met Justin, who's a great dude. I met Nate, we threw something together. But that being said, you know, I've been in and out of the community. And at first, seeing your positivity, I was like, you know, this can't be real. Like, you know, this dude is, you know, so positive all the time. Like, it's got to be like, what's the catch? What's the catch? And that's more on me than it is on you. Like, the fact that I have to think that there's a catch to somebody being positive all the time, you know, how can I not, why can't I stomach that, you know? And then just interacting with you and following you and watching you, like, it's completely, it's true. It's who you are, man. And it is such a, I guess, a positive light on a community where there could be a lot, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's contention, right? There's 32 teams in the NFL. There's however many different fantasy football leagues. There's how many leagues are you in with different people, like, you know, and you're interacting with people and, you know, I'm trying to trade with somebody and we've had some bad interactions. So now there's beef. So it's like, you know, there's so many different outlets and lines that could cause animosity. And, you know, it's nice to have positivity at the end of the day. And it is true, you know, watching you, I've seen that it's real. And that led me to, you know, let's do a gratitude list. Let's put some positivity out there. Let's grow some positivity. And hopefully it can, you know, spark some thought for others for things that, you know, maybe right now had a rough season, right? They lost some money. Their team played like shit, like in the NFL. Their fantasy teams did bad. You know, they don't want to do this no more, or maybe they're growing as fast as they wanted to. Let's talk about some positive stuff that we've had to hopefully, you know, inspire others to think of some positivity and to keep going. You know what I mean? To keep ticking, right? You take a lick and you keep on ticking. So that brings me on. Let's talk about a fantasy football gratitude list. This is some things that we're grateful for. It could be the community, people we met, things we've learned, whatever. We'll go back and forth with some items, and I'm going to let you speak first. So go ahead, my man.
Cool. So, I mean, the biggest thing I'm grateful for is intros like that. It's funny being a part of the fantasy community and not necessarily being the best content creator, not necessarily being the best podcaster, not necessarily being the best at anything, but still being welcomed by people. I mean, you're talking people that I've looked up to forever, like people like Scott Fish giving me a crack at the Fishbowl, Sal Pal, my man up in Vancouver doing a podcast on positivity with me and Troy King, who honestly, like, I was just trying to even get close to his level of positivity. To even be mentioned in the same sentence is something you're grateful for, right? But the biggest thing for me out of all of this, more than anything, is when I get tweets of people telling me, like, they met their podcast host because of a list I put together of people who aren't followed, or, you know, they get those follows because of something that was retweeted. That makes my day. I learned pretty early on that I'm not going to do this for a living. Like, I'm not the next Matthew Berry. I'm totally at peace with that, man. So the positivity comes from the fact that I'm not really competing with anybody because I'm not running in the same race. You know what I mean? Like, everybody feels like contention is running in the same direction, where they feel like there's only one spot at the finish line. And maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I'm just on the sidelines holding up signs for y'all saying do your best. So what makes me grateful is to still be welcomed in the community when there's not really something that I necessarily bring to the table that makes people all that smarter, you know, all that better at this game we play. I'm just a dude kind of spitting lines out every once in a while. So that's what I'm grateful for, is that all of you have welcomed me, you know, to this community where people really deserve so much more than I do with all the grinding they're doing. So, I mean, that's the dopest thing for me. Like, I'm so stoked to just be a part of it more than anything else.
Hell yeah, man. I'll piggyback off of that. You know, one thing I'm grateful for is the people I've met in this community and the friends that I've made, because I'm going to kind of tie two of my gratitudes together. Like, one of my things is it allowed me to turn an obsession into a hobby. Like, I'm an obsessive person, man. If I like something, like, I'm full bore. Like, you could, if I could show you the room I'm in right now, like, I got piles and piles of cards, like autographed cards. Like, I'm obsessive. I like things and I obsess about them. And, you know, with work, you know, I do heating and air conditioning, and you know, I like it. I enjoy it. I run a business, but it's not an obsession for me. But like one of the ways that like I can form a bond with customers, it's like I can see a hat on somebody, and I'm a Cowboys fan. I can see a Giants hat on somebody, and I can go up to that person and list players on their team and list things I like about them. And like, I know how to start conversation because I know this stuff like the back of my hand, and it creates, you know, positive interaction. And now we kind of have a bond in a sense. And I remember this person and they remember my name, but that's, you know, these are people I interact with here and there, but now, you know, in the Twitter community, you know, and on Facebook, like I've met people who have equal levels of obsession as I do. And we've become friends, and I'm not, you know, my friend, like most of my friends in real life, like I got, you got young kids. I got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. I'm married. I coach football. And like, it's hard for me to keep up with regular relationships that aren't like my wife and my kids, you know? And like I've grown apart from kids, you know, I grew up with. I have a few close friends, but not like, it's hard for me to have like you know, little relationships. But now when it comes to Twitter and Facebook and, you know, my guy, Justin, like me and Justin and Nate, like we talk every day and it's usually football based, but then we can get into real life shit. And it's just helped me, you know, meet people who see things on the level I do, who have similar interests. And I'm able to meet some guys. And like, I met Justin and Nate and I was like, these are just two good guys, right? These are good guys. And, you know, I left, you know, another podcast, not because there weren't good guys, because I wanted to do something on my own. Then I started my own podcast and it was hard doing it on my own. So I realized like I need to be a part of something, and interacting with them over time. I was like, these are guys I would enjoy doing this with because they're good guys. They like similar things that I do, and we could distribute the weight evenly. And, you know, I don't have to, because there's days where, you know, I don't feel like talking about this stuff. You know, again, I'm a Cowboys fan. You know, like there's Sundays, like this year was tough. It was tough. Like I hated the Cowboys. I'm a Cowboys fan who hated them this year. And there's, you know, ups and downs. And I was able to put the weight on them. They carried it. And then when, you know, I was uplifted and felt like talking about it again, I could come back. So those are some things right there. So what else you got, man?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think one of the things that for me in particular, and it's funny, you brought up the, you know, the positivity aspect of it. And, you know, is it real? Anybody who knows me knows that there is definitely peaks and valleys to my activity. There are days when I just don't have it, right? Like those days when I'm just not feeling it, you know, real life happens. And I think people kind of forget, like behind the Twitter personality is people.
For sure.
And that's, you know, that's a big thing. We should all remember this. There's people here, but there's two things that I have going for me is number one, we have such a team of grinders that the train doesn't stop, whether that be on the website or with the positivity, whether it be, you know, with Troy, G-Men, Jay, Nate Polva, like we have this group of, you know, Coop is in that group now that just kind of keep things going on that side. And then there's the team over at Join Our Circle. Man, this group chat that we have, legitimately, like I will go do something for like 45 minutes and come back to 100 messages that have me in stitches, man. Like right. this group is wild, like what they'll put out there. And when I need that kind of relief, when I need that break, like I jump into this group. I might have been gone all day, right? And we have this thing, no catch-up. You know, it's a phrase that we've kind of coined that says, hey, I'm not going to read everything. And someone will give you a rundown of what you missed.
It's good. But, you need that.
Right in, exactly. It's the wildest thing, but there's never like anybody being like, yo, where you been? Right? Like there's none of that. Like you're just free to be yourself. So like you said, when you find that family, when you find your people, when you find your tribe, honestly, the weight that gets lifted off your shoulders when you feel like I don't have to be on Twitter 24/7. I don't have to go live every day. I can kind of pick and choose the people that I want to hang out with. You know, John, this is one of them, obviously. You know, me and you have been talking for a while. I'm like, hell yeah, I want to hang out with one of my friends. But I don't feel like I have to be selling all the time because that group is literally putting something out of value like every freaking 10 minutes. So that group lifts me up, and I'm so grateful to just be even such a small part of what has been such a huge family that I love. And like every single one of them, you saw me, I spent the first 10 minutes listing about. That's the biggest thing.
Sorry, I think I don't know if it's my internet just cut out a little bit. I'm down in my basement.
I think we froze you for a minute, but we're back at least. That's the big thing though, right? I mean, so finding the family, I'm with you on that with my gratitude. You got another one you want to throw?
Yeah, hell yeah. But I do want to say I'm in the chat, and this is the most active it's been. So I can imagine, you know, your people are in here strong, and they're people I see on Twitter too. So like I interact with them, but I appreciate the love and the comments and they're going strong in here. So another thing. So now kind of off of the community, just talking about fantasy football in general. It allows me to have a dog in the fight in every game that's on TV, right? So fantasy football, you know, especially playing IDP, you talked about bringing an IDP person into join our circle. We had our fantasy intervention. We had Kyle Bellafuel. He's a good friend of mine. He came on the show a few weeks ago. He's a great fantasy football mind. And I play, you know, IDP as well, but IDP is his thing. And once I started playing IDP, for those of you who haven't, and if you haven't and you're thinking about it, go check out episode 36. That was when he was on. We talked IDP for beginners and rookies and all that good stuff. We talked about Talanoa Hufanga, who's my guy, USC safety coming into the NFL. Dude, he's phenomenal. But once I started playing IDP, it's both sides of the ball. And again, I'm obsessive. So, like, you know, I need that. So once I started doing that, you know, I had a dog in the fight in every game that's on TV, but also every time there's a snap, I got somebody out there and I got an interest. And sometimes it's too much. It's, you know, sometimes it's like I'm thinking about ways I can tweak like my viewing of football, because this season it was like a roller coaster. You know, it's like I'm checking the score over and over again. Like, so next year now, do I want to check the score once? Because I've seen people do this, like check my lineup in the morning, then let it go. Because it's almost like now I got a dog in the fight. Every snap, I'm checking my phone, and it's like I'm thinking, I know this isn't necessarily gratitude, but it's branching off of that. Yep. Like, am I going to adjust my viewership so that I can enjoy the game more again? Because like, should I get back to the grassroots of football and be less obsessed with points, you know? So this is more, you know what I mean? I'm branching from there, but I am grateful that every, like Cleveland and the Jets, I wouldn't be interested in that game. I wouldn't be. You know, maybe now that Baker's there and they made the playoffs and they're better, that might be a bad example, but I'm interested in a game I wouldn't usually be.
So let me tell you, and I love that because I made an adjustment. It was about week three, and listen, I was like everybody else. I did the quarantine startup a few times over, right? Like I did that multiple times and it got really overwhelming, right? Like every play was highs and lows. Every play was like throwing my hat, high-fiving, like at the same time, not knowing what to do. So here's what I did. I set my lineups on, you know, obviously I get my Thursday guys in there. You have to, right? Then I set my lineups to Sunday for 1 p.m. Then I cheer for chaos. Like I am literally cheering for those odd, you know, those tweets where people like that touchdown helped nobody.
Right, right.
I love it. I literally love it. And lightheartedly, like I love the Twitter meltdowns that come with it. You know what I mean? So I check on Tuesday, see if I won. But realistically, like, you know, you kind of know who you have going. But what I'm looking for more than anything is like I just go back to enjoying the art of football, like the fun of football, like, you know, the end around passes, the, you know, the shovel pass, all that type of stuff. Like that's really what I do is on Sundays. I am a football fan because after 1 p.m., man, I got no way to control it anyway. Yeah. So I just love football. I love the game. You know, I played a little bit. I certainly wasn't nearly as prolific as an athlete. I was actually a wide receiver who couldn't catch. I was a wide receiver at safety. So the one thing I'll give myself is, you know, I was the fastest one on the field. So I guess I was like Darius Hayward Bay.
Okay.
Yeah, like that was kind of, if you were going to do a comp for me, I'm Darius Hayward Bay. I will beat you on the fly pattern every time, but literally 20% chance I'm going to catch it.
A lot of misdirection with you. Fly him down the field, run the sweep behind him type of stuff going on.
That was literally all they did was they wanted me to take the free safety away from the side we were running to. Right. So all I did was run fly patterns every day, and they barely threw it to me because I was terrible, but that's okay. Right. But, you know, I just love the game. I love the nuances of it. So that was – it was a hard – adjustment. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to act like I wasn't sitting there with my phone going, I need to check. But once I had it nailed down, I was like, well, man, this is a lot more fun. And honestly, on Sundays, I just lay back, I kick it, and I just watch the games. I have a blast doing it and, you know, just kind of enjoy the art of it. And then come Tuesday, I wake up and I tilt a little bit to see if I won or I lost. But in the end, it made for a good weekend. So that's all that matters.
Man, I need to. I think I need to get to that because I'm like, as crazy as it sounds, in fantasy football, I'm cheering for points, but I'm a defensive guy. I played strong safety myself, and I was decent. We had a good team. That being said, like I love the SEC in college. So when it comes to college, I like college. I can't spend as much time watching college as I do in the NFL because I don't have 2 days a week where I can't give up my Saturday and Sunday, right? Sure. I spend a lot of time watching college in the off season because I do a lot of analysis of draft prospects, and we talked about that before the show. And everyone who listens, I'll be releasing, you know, the My Draft Dudes series as we go on. But college, I don't live and die with, right? College is like, I can like teams. Like, I like everybody in the SEC. And that might sound like Homer or I don't know what you would call that right now, right? There's something it sounds like, but I don't know what word to describe it. But they play defense, you know, maybe less now than in years past, but I like low scoring games. And I go outside the conference. I don't like 60 to 50, which might sound crazy because I'm a fantasy football guy. And in football, I like, you know, I'm an NFC East guy. I like the Cowboys, but like, I like Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. I like games where you're going to get punched in the mouth. That's what I want to watch. Like, I love playoff football because it's low scoring and I want to get back to enjoying that. But it's hard to when I'm focused on fantasy points. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm sure if I put it down, set my lineup, do the best I can get back to enjoying watching two grown men run full speed into each other and, you know, coming down to the last 3 minutes of the game, you know, 17-13. I like that. You know, give me a Super Bowl. Like, you know, remember the one the Bears were in when Grossman was quarterback?
Yep.
You know, I forget who they played against.
Peyton Manning's Broncos, right?
Yeah. Was it?
Colts. Peyton Manning's Colts, excuse me.
So it's like, you know, I don't want to see Grossman in the Super Bowl, but also I want to see Urlacher versus Manning. Like, I want to see that chess match, and I want that to decide the game. Like, that's what I enjoy. So, someone said I'm a little homer. I'm sorry, but that's it. You know, it's like I'll cheer for everybody. Like, I coach speed and agility high school. I coach high school football, and right now I'm working with the softball program, and we're doing off-season speed and agility. And I wore an Alabama Crimson Tide t-shirt like 3 weeks ago, and then last week I wore an LSU beanie, and they're like, coach, like, because they're all getting ready to go to college themselves, and they're walking around with like Oklahoma sweatshirts on, like schools that they're actually going to go to.
Yeah,
like, coach, I don't understand you, like, you're wearing an Alabama shirt, and I'm like, I like them. And it's not like I'm walking around with a Patriots jacket on and then the next week a Dolphins hat. Like, I would never do that with football, like with the NFL, but with college I can. But all right, my last one is fantasy football allows me to have a fun and successful season even when my NFL team has a bad one. So that is like the last one of my last, and I'm sure there's more things I'm grateful for, but that's the last one I listed.
And I love that. And first off, apologies to Justin for my misspeak. I'm on his podcast and messing up his Colts Super Bowl. Probably the best thing that happened to him that day. My apologies, buddy. Had the quarterback right. Literally just went a little further up the timeline for his Super Bowl titles. So the last thing for me that I'm grateful for is You know, realistically, just the way that my Sundays have become like an escape from the real world, the way that it allows me to take a break, right? You know, this has been a weird year. It's been a really weird year for all of us. And I started that timeline takeover on Sundays, where from 11 to 1, I literally just pump out everybody's content. Basically, it started with Matt McCarthy was doing it like kind of here and there, methodical, you know, one of my favorite people, like one of the people who taught me how to be so positive. And so it started with him and getting people involved. I said, hey, I'm going to start doing this. And I remember the first week I got like four things to tweet out from my friends. They were just throwing me a bone, whatever. But then people started, you know, retweeting it. People started getting involved. People started talking about it. And by the end, I think we had 60 or 70 pieces of content that we were getting out into the world on every Sunday. And then John, Dynasty Coach A, started doing a live stream about it. And then we had folks doing their own little spinoffs of it. And what it did is just gave me this like really great feeling of people kind of sharing their stuff, seeing all the cool stuff people were doing. It got me a lot more things to read. It got me things I might not have watched before. And then it brought us up right to kickoff with this like swell of like just happiness, right? Like of just people helping each other out, like seeing the retweets of retweets, seeing the comments, seeing the follows. My man Plain Pats has this gif of a blue bird following a woman. It's kind of funny, but it's hilarious.
I saw that. Like you boosted me up to 1,000. You're like, hey, you know, and then he put that in there, and I was like, I need to know the background. Like, what is this? Like, I don't understand this.
Every time he follows somebody, he drops that gif, and he did it once or twice. And I was like crying because it is the most awkward thing I've ever seen. And now every time he's not following somebody that I'm on a thread with, he drops that gif, and he knows it's like my favorite thing in the world because I can't stop laughing at it.
Right.
So that's like how, you know,
man, I'm glad I got to inside, like I got inside, you know, that space there to figure that out because I had no idea.
Oh, it got to the point where me and Troy and Jay and Nate, like when we send those out, like, hey, check out this guy's content and give him a follow. We'll actually tag Pat now, ask him to drop the GIF, like we need it. Like, it's like literally the highlight. But what it does in the end. Oh, it's awesome. And what it does in the end is just, hell, man, we all need an escape from the world right now, right? On Sundays, I don't leave my house much. I don't really, you know, I am football. I'm Twitter, then I'm football. I do a Sleeper Wire show every other week. You know, me and Justin did a lot of those. I forget, we had a couple arguments. I think, you know, probably went 50-50 on who won them. But it literally just gave me an escape from what's happening out there. Like, I didn't have to worry about work. I don't have to worry about COVID. Like, I'm lucky enough for Sundays to just be able to sit and chill, talk football, share football, and then watch football, man. Then there's nothing better. That just makes for a great day.
Oh, yeah, man. This went like, you know, I feel like we could have done a whole 60 minutes on this, and we might have to redo, like, get back into this, I think, NFL season. Like, this is post NFL season. Like, why don't we put this on tap to do again, like August, right? We'll do another gratitude list 2.0, and hopefully, you know, Nate and Justin will be in there, and you can bring some of your people. We'll do a big one. We'll have like a fantasy combine thing with all of our gratitude lists. But early as hell. Yeah, we are early. It's the one thing is in season, like 8 or 9 o'clock. I'm in bed at 9. Like, I'm in bed at night. My wife wants to watch, like, TV shows. Right now we're watching, what the hell is it called? Search Party. And she wants to watch it at, like, 10. And I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it. And I'm slightly falling asleep. So when we record at 8 or 9 in season because we want to get it out first thing tomorrow morning, you know, when everyone wants to digest the content. In the off season, I want my coffee. I want to be up. And my kids are still waking up. I have no responsibility right now. So we're early. It's just the easiest time for me to do. Like, me and Mike, we talked before the show. We were talking video games because Mike woke up at like four hours ago or 4 a.m. And I was like, do you play video games? Because if I woke up at 4 a.m., I would be like, okay, I'd make my coffee. I'd go play for a few hours because that's the only time I'm going to get, you know, to play the way I want to play. But that, yeah, man, we are early. we're also early going to be talking about free agency. We're a little early on that. It's draft season, but free agency is coming right down the pipe. And this week, Senior Bowl week, is like usually the first time teams are kind of getting to talk to agents and stuff like that. And we're kind of getting a buzz on who's going to go where. And it's really not happening right now because things aren't normal. But I do want to discuss some of the big names. We have a big list here. I highlighted a few of the names, and we can kind of talk about these guys and where we think they're going to end up and try to get ahead of it and give people kind of an insight into our thought process for all these things. So I figure we'll start with quarterbacks because quarterbacks are probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
The NFL is crazy. Quarterback crazy right now. It's like I've added two guys in here that are supposed to be traded, Matt Stafford and Deshaun Watson. So why don't we start with Stafford, Watson, and then Dak, because those are probably the big chips that are going to lead to, you know, any more chaos. And you do, Troy said you love chaos. So let's see if you're hoping for that. But anyway, Deshaun Watson, they got a new coach. This coach is saying the only reason he's there is because Watson's going to be there as well. But I don't know if that means much. But anyway, where do you see Deshaun Watson ended up in a trade?
All right. So let's start with that statement. The only reason he's there is because Deshaun Watson was there. The only reason he was there is because no one else was asking. This head coach is the equivalent of the ugly person at the end of the bar at 2 a.m. where you're thinking to yourself, all I got, huh? And you're not certain whether you just want to go home alone and say, forget it and try again next week.
Right.
And Houston apparently didn't want to go home alone. So they hooked up with a coach from the worst passing offense in football and decided that that was going to entice their quarterback to stay. There is no way it works. And I'll tell you, I was on P2W Fantasy before the Armando Zagara article came out. So luckily I have it at least on record, and I am not changing my prediction. Deshaun Watson goes to the Jets for Sam Darnold, number 2 and number 23. The reason why I feel that way is very simple. First of all, they have that draft capital. The other teams we're talking about, Miami has shown every signal that they're sticking with Tua. They brought in a coach with connections to Tua. They're Senior Bowl coaching Devonta Smith. Like, they're looking more at weapons to put around.
They should.
It's the right move, no question. I know Troy isn't here, big Miami fan. I also know he's a big Deshaun Watson fan, as we all are. Let's be honest. Deshaun Watson is arguably the second or third best quarterback in the NFL, depending on which way you're looking at it, right? So I don't think Miami's going to happen. I think the Jets are what's going to happen. I think that's going to be for 2, 23 and Darnold. What I do know is Caserio is part of a Patriots regime that was actually very high on Sam Darnold. So I don't even think that's a throwaway piece for them. I just don't. I think Darnold is actually somebody who they want to get a good look at. I also think at number 2, if you're not sold on Fields, and I'm not sure they are or they aren't, we, you know, that could be a discussion for folks who really kind of understand the front office. I don't know how you could, because Caserio has been tied for Belichick for so long. But what I can tell you is that number 2 pick can very easily turn into multiple picks. It has such high value right now. So if you're looking to recoup what was a treasure trove of picks that you've now given up for Laramie Tunsil, you know, horrible decision. I get it. You're kind of flipping Deshaun Watson for Tunsil in the end if you make this deal, right? When you think value wise,
right?
But your sins of the past don't atone for the future. And what you have in my favorite tweet that I got an argument with somebody telling me that I was stupid because Houston owns all the cards. So bro, just big facts. No trade clause means they absolutely don't. Like, that is the opposite of a no trade clause. They don't hold all the cards here. They just flat out don't. So what I think happens is that Houston's going to get the best package. Watson's already come out and been complimentary of Salah. Right, they have the coaching staff
that he likes a lot. I like his energy. I love his energy.
I love him. And I'll tell you what, the Jets. Here you go. You want to talk big facts? We'll plant our flag here.
All right, go ahead.
The Jets not only get Deshaun Watson, they get their first AFC East title since 2002.
Hell yeah! All right,
plant it, put it down. Not even wavering on that one. Who do you got for Watson?
Man, so I can dig that. Some people in here think he doesn't want to go to New York. but it's New York. And I don't want to sound like a homer again from New York, but I think he would love being in the city and being the guy to resurrect the New York Jets. Tom Brady isn't in the AFC East anymore. Like, he's not. It's not, you know, the boogeyman. Like, he could take that thing over. So I can see the Jets for sure. You know, I think that would be, you know, that would be great for them. I think, you know, you got Mims, and then if they get Watson, they're going to have some money. You know, there's another free agent, I think, who's going to land there. There's a few wide receivers available. Like, they could get things cooking there. Crowder's not too bad. Mims is upside. Possibly Houston, just because this, you know, that's always a possibility he ends up staying there. But I think it's either New York Jets, and then I think San Francisco. Justin thinks San Francisco. Now, again, when I say I think, I just think it's a possibility. I think Garoppolo's out there. I don't know where he's going to end up, but I think, you know, they can make it work. And they have a lot of weapons there. And that, for fantasy, you know, seeing Ayuk, seeing Kittle, seeing Debo, you know, all with Deshaun Watson, and then whatever plethora of running backs they want to give him. I know they just, Jeff Wilson's coming back. They'll have about four guys who will get starts throughout the season. And that running back field is fantasy chaos. So you should sponsor the San Francisco backfield. They're the new New England Patriots backfield. But anyway, you know, I see a little bit of San Francisco. I see a little bit of the New York Jets. Now, Stafford, he's going to get traded. He's like the I wouldn't say the poor man's Deshaun Watson, but he's definitely, I think, going to be a little cheaper. And I think if you want Matthew Stafford, I think you should be grateful that Deshaun Watson's getting traded this offseason, because I think it's going to be like, oh, Stafford's the rebound, right? So you're not going to have to give up as much to get him, because they clearly want to get rid of him in Detroit, whereas in Houston, I don't think they necessarily want to get rid of him. So I think Stafford's going to cost less. And I'm thinking Indy or Washington. I think Indy's ready for him. You know what I mean? I don't think Eason's ready. I think they got weapons. I think they got a good defense. I think they got some cap room. And I think Stafford and Indy, like, it says contender. And then same thing with Washington, man. I think the Washington football team, I love what they've built on that defense. I love that defensive line. I love the linebackers. I'm a big Cole Holcomb guy. You know, I love Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. You know, Antonio Gibson's a dude. Those are two teams that if I'm Indy or if I'm Washington, I am trading for Matthew Stafford. I'm getting it done and hoping that his back is okay. That's what I'm hoping for. Where do you think Stafford ends up?
So as a fan, I love your choices. I think both of those teams are instant competitors, the Colts in particular. The Colts really give a run at the Chiefs if they get Stafford and Galladay, which I think could be a pairing in Indy. However, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that Matthew Stafford's playing in California next year, either with the Niners or the Rams. I think those are the two teams that he's going to land with. I think it's down to those two right now. I think ultimately in the end, it will be the Niners. I think what they're going to get is they're going to get him to the Niners and then give him out of this free agent class, whether it be a Galladay or someone like that, give him a field stretcher on the outside to really fit those crossing routes that we're seeing with Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle. I think they're a Stafford and an outside receiver away from getting to where they need to get to. Now, the backfield chaos has been spectacular, but I'll tell you what, one of the whispers I've been literally chomping at the bit on, because imagine this dude in that offense, is Travis Etienne.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Niners.
Yeah.
Man, would that be a fit? Like, that would be gold. I mean, you got Wilson doing the grunt work. You got that thunder and lightning vibe you had with, like, an Ingram, Kamara type.
He runs like Mostert. Like, yeah. They got that. Like, if you put, like, I haven't thought of this until you said it, and now I'm putting clips of them, I'm molding them together in my head. They have a very similar running style, like the way they run. Mm-hmm. And you've seen the success Mostert's had in that offense with Kyle Shanahan. Etienne's a better version of that. You know what I mean? I'm not as high on Etienne as a lot of people are. I think, you know, but that's a system. And I think San Francisco's a system. He succeeded in a system with, you know, a good quarterback, good weapons. And I think that's what you got in San Francisco. So he could be very successful there. So, that would be phenomenal.
He'd be huge there. And that's the thing, right? When you look at Etienne, when you look at him particularly as a prospect compared to like a Najee, for example, or a Williams, his landing spot legitimately is going to waiver. I very rarely do I waiver on my rookies. That's how you end up with CEH over Jonathan Taylor. Mistakes were made. Etienne, though, is the one coming right out of the gate. I'm telling you that his ranking, for me in particular, is extremely landing spot specific. Yeah, and the Niners, I love because I feel confident that that system's not going to change. Right, they have a young coach, they have an established coach, they have an established system that's working.
Even the Shanahan legacy of running back, like
gold.
Yeah.
Now, if he goes somewhere else, I'm not going to be so high on him, right? Like if he lands in a different spot, you know, I don't even know who to throw out. But if he lands in a different spot than that, like realistically, the only two that will make me think that Etienne can really push to that ceiling we thought he was going to, the only two places are San Francisco and Arizona for me. Anywhere else, he drops probably to running back 3, if not lower.
Okay.
So sorry, we kind of
dude. Anytime you want to bring up draft prospects, like that's my ballpark. You know what I mean? I love that. Like guy, you know, you mentioned the big time running backs. I love Jamar Jefferson, Oregon State man. That's guy. Yep. Guys, he's like I'm afraid. Like everyone's falling in love with Tylan Wallace right now, and he's been a guy I've been on for about 2 years, and I'm loving it. You know, but also part of me is like, man, like. You know, why'd you got to go to the Senior Bowl? I'm not going to be able to get you the way I could have got you earlier. I'm hoping Jefferson doesn't get as much buzz because then I could snag him in a few more leagues. But, all right, let's talk – I'm going to talk. Bring up three quarterbacks that are free agents, and we'll talk about their landed spots, and then we'll move on to running backs. Perfect. First one is Dak, but I think Dak is going to sign in Dallas like 100%. I think he's either going to get franchised or I think they're going to lock him up. And I think he's a winner. He's got, you know, he's a positive guy. He's a leader. Like he's all the things you want in a quarterback. You drafted him, you know, you saw what you're like without him. You pay the guy. And the longer you wait to not pay him, the more other quarterbacks get contracts. And that just raises the bar. And I know they dropped the ball on that a bunch of times, but just clean it up, get it done. Like similar to what you said about Houston, you know, like you made a mistake. That doesn't mean like keep digging the hole, get out of it. Get out of it by just signing them and locking them up. Do you agree with Dak?
100%. Dak's going back to Dallas. I've never even like envisioned him going to another team. Now, right. What I will say is I know we have Justin in the chat, and I kind of threw some cold water on his Stafford to Indy dreams. Man, I'd be going all in at Dak if I was Indy. I would be selling the farm to get him there. Like I said, I'd love for them to get Stafford. I think that would be the play. I don't think they will. And if they lose out, I would be emptying both clips to try to get Dak Prescott to Indy. I think he'd be
a great offense right now is very similar to Dak's rookie season. Mm-hmm. Where the offensive line is, that backfield, the wide receivers, like you got an aging veteran wide receiver, you got some young guys who could run. He's got tight end options. He's got a stud running back. He's got a great offensive line. But on the other side of the ball, they have a defense that he's never had. Darius Leonard is a freak of nature. You know, he is phenomenal. And, like, then you got Buckner. You know, how did they pull that off? How were they the only team who offered that? Like, it was bananas to me that they got DeForest Buckner for what they got him for. I'd give that in a heartbeat. Like that's
every team should have.
Plug him in. There you go. The center of your defense, solid. And then they get to put him in front of Darius Leonard. And man, if they, I'd be okay. Justin's my guy. So yep. Dak went to Indy. Indy went on to win a ship. I'm on board, man. Like, let's go. I'll cheer for that all day.
I love it. Now, I think that's the only other option, honestly. And
he has
I think
Eberflus ties the defensive. I don't know if he's their D coordinator, but Eberflus used to be in Dallas. So Dallas, they got a little bit of a connection there.
They do. And I think that honestly with Dak, like you're talking, you know, $40 million, right? So you're not talking about really worrying about the money per se. I think that either he stays home. Which I do think ultimately, like we're talking like 70-30, 75-25 here. But I think Indy is a place where he could really cement his legacy. I think that's the only other choice for him. But if I'm putting dollars down, it's on Dallas without question.
All right. And then Mitchell Trubisky, I don't really know. I guess he's one of the big names. There's a bunch of quarterback names. Do you have a thought on where Mitchell Trubisky might end up?
He's not going to end up anywhere until the coaching carousel, until the quarterback carousel stops. This particular year, when you look at the next two guys, I think we're going to talk about Mitch and Fitz. I think what they're going to do is they're going to end up sitting out there, right? So when you talk about Mitch Trubisky, here's what I could see. If the 49ers don't get Stafford, if the 49ers are the team that's left out and they have to roll Jimmy G again, one of these two, I think, ends up in New England. Okay. And the reason why I'm hedging my bets here is because the second that San Francisco gets Stafford, literally you can put the pictures of Jimmy G in a Patriots uniform back out on Twitter, because that will be the next domino to fall. Don't get it twisted. If Garoppolo is either the quarterback of the Niners or the Patriots next year, then you look at a team like Indy, like we've been talking about, right? You know, they're going to be looking at a quarterback. But what I do think is that if the Patriots end up outside looking in because they don't get Garoppolo, and I don't even think they're going to have a chance in these other quarterbacks, I think it's Garoppolo or bust at this point for them, I could very easily see a Fitzmagic or Mitch bridging to their 15th pick, which would be Mac Jones. For the Patriots, just looking at their style, the way they like their quarterbacks to play.
That look kind at the of guild, man. This eerily, you look at pictures of him coming into Bama, like, and you look at the pictures of Brady coming out of Michigan. Like, you can't not look at those pictures and think, like, cut from the same cloth, these guys.
It's same body type, and obviously the same quarterback rating. Like, what Jones does, the mistakes aren't there, right? Now, Trubisky's a wild card because the talent's there. Right. And I could see a coach, Belichick included, feeling that they could fix him, feeling like almost like the Adam Gase corollary where people looking at Sam Darnold is maybe not broken. He just got Gased. I could easily see that with the Bears who are, you know, have been a straight-up disaster from the coaching standpoint with Trubisky. I think he got off on the wrong foot and things like that. So I could certainly see that being a play, but I think these two are basically going to be sitting there holding their ticket until everything else stops. I think they're going to be the bridesmaid. You know, they're going to be the consolation prize, however you want to term it. I don't think these guys are the top of anybody's wish list, but I do think the teams that we've mentioned, right? You mentioned Washington, for example, even Carolina, you know, is probably looking for an upgrade for my boy DJ Moore. All these teams that miss out on the big prizes are then going to be left looking at the rest of this list. So the prediction really stems upon how does this all play out? And I think these are the two guys that are going to have to wait. That's my concern.
You touched on Carolina. Justin's asking if Mitch is going to Carolina. If I'm Carolina, you're talking about Indy emptying the clips for Dak. I'm Carolina, I'm getting Zach Wilson.
Yes.
I'm finding a way to get him and pairing him with Christian McCaffrey. Like, that's what I'm doing. 100%. Go get him. Fields, that's good too. Either of those guys. But I think Zach Wilson's a little more of a higher ceiling. I think Fields is a little bit of a higher floor. So go get him. But Fitzmagic, so you kind of touched on Mitch. You touched on Fitzpatrick. I think Fitzmagic's going to end up in Denver. I do. I just think it's right up. I know John Elway took a step back. He's not the GM anymore, but this is right up his alley. This is what they do. This is what, look at Denver's track record over since he's been there. Get me an aging quarterback. And he might be, you know, Manning, when he came in there, was broken neck. Like, he got it done. Like, Fitzmagic's healthy. And he looked good this year. You know, I thought Tua's the guy in Miami, but they should have never taken Fitzpatrick out. You know, and you know what? From a coaching standpoint, did Miami really have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl? No. So Tua got playing time. It worked out. Mm-hmm. But if you were talking about winning games rather than advancing, you know, our young prospect, you keep Fitzpatrick in there. But they did what they had to do. But Fitzpatrick, if you put him out there with Hamler, with Judy, with Sutton, with Fant, like, dude, it's a mile high, Fitzmagic.
Oh, yeah. And John, if you're right, let's make sure the whole audience knows. Go buy Sutton now. Go pick him up in a trade. Go do whatever it takes to get Cortland Sutton on your roster.
He's so forgotten right now.
Exactly. And people forget that he is that dude. Oh, he is that alpha. He is that wide receiver one. So if Sutton's available and Fitzpatrick signs, it's gold.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right. So we're going to touch on some running backs. I think there's, it's not as big as the quarterbacks, right? So we're going to be able to breeze through these running backs real quick. There's really only like three names I highlighted. I'm going to tell you all who's available, but then, you know, if you got any thoughts on any of them, we'll save it. We'll get to them after I list them. And then we'll touch on the big ones, right? So Philip Lindsay, Jack, you know, I liked him more than Melvin Gordon, but I'm not sure. Kenyon Drake, Gurley, Ingram, Marlon Mack, Jamal Williams, James Conner, Le'Veon Bell, Leonard Fournette, and then the two big names. You know, Kenyon Drake is big. Philip Lindsay in the right spot could be big. You know, Marlon Mack if healthy, but it's really Chris Carson and Aaron Jones. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, so I definitely agree that those are the two that are going to be major difference makers at this point. And, you know, to touch upon, I guess we'll look at the first one, which is Chris Carson. I see your notes, so I'm not going to steal it. I'll go a little different direction. But I'll make sure we both hit the two teams because you hit one of them that I love out of the two. Chris Carson to Buffalo.
Man, okay. Okay, so he's clearly an upgrade over Zach Moss, right? Like Zach Moss is hoping – I like Zach Moss. But Zach Moss is hoping to have a Chris Carson-like peak, okay? Yep. Zach Moss is a big dude. But I could see that. I could see him in Buffalo. The other team that I touched on that I'm guessing you like as well is Pittsburgh. I think he, you know, if you're going to move on from Ben, or even if you're going to keep Ben, you know, he's that style of football that I think Tomlin wants to get back to. They're going to throw the ball, but Chris Carson's going to run straight at you. He's going to run your ass over. He's playing physical ball. He can do everything, and he did it, you know, out in Seattle where they're playing big boy football, right? They're making playoffs every single season. So he's used to that. So I would love to see Chris Carson up in the AFC North.
So I love the call and I think he'd be a great fit. It just, it hurts my heart because it takes away my draft dream, which is draft dream? Najee or Williams to Pittsburgh. And man, that would, like, my heart would explode. We talked about Etienne being system dependent. Absolutely no. I want no part of him in Pittsburgh because what I think they do, I think they move on from Connor. I think they move on to Juju and they get back to AFC North football. And that is a big boy running back. Like, that is a ground and pound type game. And I think the two backs that we have out that really highlight that style with Harrison Williams. Oh, man, would that, especially for me, I have the number two rookie pick. I would explode if that happened with happiness, right? Like, so I love the call. And we can both admit that it will be a grinding back in Pittsburgh. And whoever goes there.
I love Najee there. I would love that. Phenomenal.
It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing, right? But if Carson went there, rocket ship, right? Like, this would be a spectacular pairing. And I think we saw with Ben's elbow, especially, I think they get back to that ground and pound. I think Claypool is the perfect kind of big boy receiver for those short passes. But I think you get back to more of a game management style and letting the defense do their thing. So whoever ends up there, whoever that grinder is, rocket ship value was.
Right. And then signing somebody as opposed to drafting somebody, but that means they sign, you know, a guy like Carson, they could use that draft capital to keep building on the defense or, you know, get that quarterback. You know what I mean? And maybe one of the free agents that we didn't discuss in Pittsburgh could possibly end up in Pittsburgh. I mean, if Stafford ended up there, you know, he's not a free agent, but trade candidate, he could kind of fit right into that, you know, slinging the ball all over the yard. You know, it's not necessarily where we said they're going to head, but he's got that capability if they want to try to keep, you know, what they had going on there. All right, the next big name is the bigger of the two names, and that's Aaron Jones out of Green Bay. And I think we can both agree he's out of Green Bay. He's done. And you collect sports cards, A.J. Dillon. Go buy a lot because I've been starting to buy him. But where do you think Aaron Jones ends up?
So I have to give a tip of the hat to Chase, my co-host. He's been calling this since, like, October, that Aaron Jones is heading to the Cardinals. Okay. And if he does, man. So what I will say is Aaron Jones, Sean, is the one person that people have actually told, like, it was hilarious. One guy commented, someone I wasn't following, he wasn't following me, but commented on my post that everyone should stop following me. Because I have no idea what I'm talking about, which was spectacular. Because he's probably right. You know,
that's cold-blooded. It was not just a quarter of the people who follow you or every single one.
All of them should go. Yeah. Which was cool. And I was all for it. And the reason for that is because Aaron Jones is my number four dynasty running back.
Okay.
And I don't know anyone that has him in the top 15, but this is a guy who has like zero wear on the tires right now. And I think what he's looking at for, you know, I know you look at the Cowboys, for example, he's looking at that DeMarco Murray situation.
Okay.
Where he's going to sign a 3 or 4 year deal and they're going to beat the brakes off of this dude for 2 to 3 years. And what you're going to get in that time frame is you're going to get 2 years of running back one. And then you're going to be able to move on. Similar to the Gurley situation where you're going to win yourself a couple titles. And if you hit that trade button right at the peak, right? And we've had a lot of stock talk on the timeline now. So, you know, we're talking peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
What you're going to get from Aaron Jones is 2 years of RB1 plus that same trade value, if not more, than people are trading for today. That's why I love this guy as an investment piece. And if he goes to Arizona, if he goes to Buffalo, if he goes to Pittsburgh, the teams that we've mentioned so far that are running back needy, he's 2 to 3 years of that, what you saw last year, which was your running back two, the running back two, not a running back two, overall RB2. This kid is more talented than he's seen. And the Green Bay, coaches did him a favor by not running him, the whole free Aaron Jones movement. So I think that you're going to look at a guy who's probably got until his, you know, age 29 season. And I hope my league mates aren't watching this. Ignore this because I'm going to trade him right at the end of that second year for massive value. I got 3 firsts for Gurley a year and a half ago after winning a title with them.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, right before the wheels fell off. And it
what did you turn those into? Do you remember what you turned those into?
Those three became you ready for this?
Yes.
Jonathan Taylor and Travis Kelce.
Yeah. We'll go win again. Taylor, did you win again this year?
No, I came in third, actually. Just didn't have a great end of the year run, had a few injuries coming in.
Okay.
But yeah, came in third. Taylor this year
picked up for those, I'm sure, for some of those injuries with the end of the season he had.
He was massive, yeah. And what, you know, when you looked at the team, what hurt me was Eckler not coming back to form. Mm-hmm. And Herbert, if you remember, having his playoff weeks were a little dicey. So came up a little short. And what I ran into was David Montgomery. And David Montgomery lit me up week 15, which was fine. But I'm bringing back a squad now with Taylor, Gibson, Eckler, Devontae Adams, DJ Herbert, Moore, and James Kelce, and Herbert.
And Herbert.
And Herbert, yeah.
Is it so super?
It is not. It's a one QB.
Still.
So, I have no worries at all in life. But yeah, so that trade turned into Jonathan Taylor and Kelce for Gurley. That was how it played out, and it was amazing.
I'm going to tell you one thing. What you did with Gurley, I think you need to consider doing with Kelce. Like, that's a physical position. And I would consider one more year with him, and even with Kittle. Like, I'm out. Like, I think he's got, you know, he's going to have huge games and he might have another huge season, but Kittle plays the games. And if you listen to the show, people listen to the show, they know I've said this, like I've been saying, I just think he plays the position so damn physically.
Yep.
That he wants to hurt people. And in process of hurting people, he's going to hurt himself. So, you know, I'm out. And Kelce, like in about a year, I'm out.
So here's what I did with Kelce. When you look at this roster, I try to be as smart as humanly possible. Now, I think I have a window because I do have Devontae Adams. I do have Travis Kelce, and I want to maximize that for 1 to 2 years. So what I did was while everybody was getting out on the young guys, I stacked my bench where my tight end room now is Travis Kelce, Irv Smith, and Cole Kmet. So I'm sitting there going, this will give Irv time, who I think Irv jumps up one rung. And then he jumps up another one, right? So when you talk about, you know, you watch Alabama, you know what Irv Smith is. He's still a young dude. He's a yak monster. He's a beast. So I think that I'm set there. And, yeah, it does come down to once Irv is ready to take off, making that move for Kelce happens. Then I just have to see it with a little more consistency. First, I have to see Rudolph leave town, which I think he does.
Right.
That's step one in the process. And I need either Irv or Kmet to show that they can be the tight end one on the squad. And then, yeah, what I'll get is the 2 firsts I traded for Kelce. I'll get them right back. So it's basically like a free rental if you play your cards properly. So yeah, that is the plan. I just need one of those two guys to show they can be consistent.
Awesome. Awesome. I think that's great. And then you could, if Adams and Kelsey help you win another ship, then you could flip one of those guys and restock again. You're in good shape. So now Aaron Jones, I do want to tie it back to him. I think he's going to end up in the Jets. I think they got a lot of cap room. And I think if they bring in Watson, it would be nice to pair him with Aaron Jones. And I think, you know, also Aaron Jones probably would enjoy going from Aaron Rodgers to Deshaun Watson and then going somewhere where he's going to have that quarterback, but also be the future back. So I could see Aaron Jones with the New York Jets. And you know what, man? We got wide receivers to talk about and tight ends to talk about, but I might save that for another day because, you know, we've had some great conversation and, you know, we're at about the hour mark and I don't want to keep dragging this thing on. So I'm going to save wide receivers, tight ends, defensive players for another week. And I'm going to cut this thing off. It's been, you know, it's been a joy talking to you for the first time, you know, on a podcast in general. And I think we've kind of navigated a lot of our discussion points into different routes. And that's been great because it's really been fun to see your insight. And I think you're a lot brighter than you give yourself credit for. You know, again, it's just been great football conversation.
Oh, man, this has been a blast. I told you I've been looking forward to this. I think we talked about it, like 3 weeks ago that it was going to happen. I had to circle it on the calendar. This was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, like, I learned from being on the show, which I love, like listening to you and now getting your, you know, your insights on the prospects. Like, I can't wait to see how you pull these rookies together, man, because, you know, I'm going to be following. I'm a huge fan.
Excellent, man. Well, this is Mike. He's from the Fantasy Intervention. All right. You can find him on Twitter at Daddy's Home FF in their podcast at Join Our Circle _. And you guys, when do you guys go live every weekend?
All the time. So during the season, I'm on Wednesdays at 8. On the off season, I'm doing mostly guest spot.
Hey, I think we got a little choppy. Why don't you, I want to make sure, I don't know if it's on my end or your end, but say it again because I don't want to want anybody to miss it.
So I'm just doing guest spots during the off season. You can find me during the season every Wednesday night at 8, but what you have is still that show's rolling on with the biggest guests with Chase Vernon and Steffi Smalls Wednesdays at 8. Their rehab report is Tuesdays at 7. We also have a bunch of game shows. Legitimately, if you go to our Twitter page, somebody's live probably all the time. We're like Friends, right? Like the TV show where you can find it on your TV at some point. Yeah. So check us out. Literally, I can vote for everybody on the team as must-see TV at this point.
I'm ready to roll. So if you guys need, if you got game shows, you know, whatever, you let me know. Whenever you need a guest, I'm ready to roll. So, I really appreciate you coming on. Everybody else, remember, you know, go check us out on Twitter at Toilets to Titles. I'm at Coach Sheps. Justin and Nate, who aren't here, at Justin FF _, at Nate _Dirt 19. Please hit the like button on the YouTube episodes. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the comments. Do your thing. And then also let me know if you want to get into that NFL draft Raz again. I got some Rondale Moore, Micah Parsons, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Kyle Pitts. Those are all names that are going to be – their stock is rising. So, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch you all later on. First time having a little trouble.